Hey church, what an amazing season we are in. And you know what? We're about to hear a great word from Pastor Russell. So prepare your hearts, prepare your ears. Let's take a look.
Last week I talked about God's glorious church in Matthew chapter 16. And it's the first time the church was mentioned by Jesus. And so Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah. Others say you're one of the prophets. And then he said, who do you say that I am? And he said, Peter gets up and he says, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. See, he is the anointed one. His anointing changes everything. He is alive. And then Jesus says, and on this revelation, and the revelation of you, of other people, myself, Christians all over the world, on the revelation of Jesus is, our stones that come together become a rock of revelation. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that's where the church is introduced. Then in Acts chapter 2 is when the power of God comes to the church and the church is birthed. And so next week I'll be talking about Pentecost on Pentecost Sunday. But today we were talking in Ephesians last week about the church and the purpose of the church, because you need to understand why you're part of a church. And God's vehicle for revival in a city is His church, His glorious church. Now, the church isn't perfect because it's made up of people. And over the years, people have made mistakes in church, but that doesn't mean God doesn't love His church and that God doesn't want to use His church. And so, and I talked about last week, as we come into prayer and fasting, that what the Jesus says, on this revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, in other words, there is a spiritual battle. There is a spiritual fight. The Bible says, for this purpose, Jesus came, was to destroy the works of the enemy. John 10:10 says, the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy, but Jesus comes to give you life and life more abundantly. I love being on the side of Jesus because He doesn't lose. And so He then says, I also give you the keys of the kingdom. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And so what he's talking about the spiritual realm. What we bind in the spirit in heaven is released in heaven, is released on earth. What we bind on heaven is bound on earth, and what we loose in heaven is loose on earth. And now in the heavenly realms, there is angels. There is God's angels, there's demonic angels, and God Himself. And what we come into agreement with in the heavenly realms is what affects the earthly realms. So it's on the revelation of who Jesus is. It's on the anointing of who He is. It's on Him being alive. We have the power to bind and loose, because we are in a spiritual battle. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, earthly, human, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? Something that's got a hold of you that's strong. You know, God's given us keys and He's given us weapons to use to defeat the enemy. So the enemy is defeated in the heavenly realms and now defeated on earth. And he talks about this. You know, I talked about one of the things the church is. It's an army. It's a family. It's a body. It's a bride. It's a healing center. It's a hospital. It's many, many things. But it's God's institution to bring change on planet earth. That's why we do what we do from a spiritual point of view. And so Paul, author of Ephesians, is talking about your position and my position in Christ, talking about the gifts God's given His church, the body, talks about all that. And then he comes to the final part of chapter 6 and he says this, and a final word, be strong in the Lord. Doesn't say be strong in your abilities and talents. Doesn't say be strong in your earthly ways, but be strong in the Lord. I love this, because when the Lord is on our side, there is nothing that is impossible. In fact, the Bible says the battle is the Lord's. We just got to come into agreement with it. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the and in His mighty power. We've got a God who is mighty. Can anyone say amen? Can anyone give God a shout of praise in your household right there? We have a mighty God who is mighty in power. His power is so powerful that nothing can stop it. It says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Then it says, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. So the devil has strategies to take you and I out. He has strategies for his kingdom to advance. But God has put you and I, the church, in this position to hold his plans and strategies back and to be who Jesus created us to be. And then he goes on, he says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen realm. I talked about that just a moment ago. And against the mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So our battle is not of the flesh, it's of the spirit. And so we come in the spirit. And God says, I'm going to give you an armor. In verse 13, it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. You'll be still standing firm. And it says then, stand your ground. Come on, church, stand your ground in faith. We are going to see the greatest revival the world's ever seen. We're going to see the greatest move of God the world's ever seen. Right now, there is massive challenges in this world, but it's the church. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men, the institutions of the world could not put Humpty together again. The only thing that can change this world is Jesus through his church. And he says then, so stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth. I'm going to go to my notes because I actually haven't opened my notes. I was just reading the scripture. But it says, three things you need to know. Be strong in the Lord, reliance on the Holy Spirit. Put on God's armor, not your armor. You know, when we're in God's armor, the devil doesn't know your weaknesses and he doesn't see the fears you might have. In that armor, you look like Jesus to him. So put on the armor, stand firm against the enemy strategies. If we ever grasp, the church ever grasps the full reality of what God is telling us here, there would be nothing holding us back. Notice we're told to stand firm, which is repeated twice, to stand our ground. Why didn't God tell us go fight? Because we're not fighting for victory. We're not trying to get a victory, but from victory. And there is all the difference between those two positions. Jesus Christ has already won the victory over the devil and his schemes. Our job is to do the mop up and hold on to the ground that Christ has already captured. The number one tactic of Satan is to make you think you don't have what you already have. You have it. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, that means every sickness, every disease, every sin, he has won the victory over. Every depression, every loneliness, he has won the victory over. So it's time to stand. And then he goes on and he says, this is a spiritual battle we're fighting. And he says, put on the armor of God. So how do we as a church, what do we need as a church? How does the local church equip the people in the church to stand firm and complete Christ's victory? How we do it is by enabling all of us to use the armor God has provided. These six pieces listed in the verses 13 to 17 of Ephesians 6 are divided into two groups based on verbs. The first group is having. And the second group is taking or take up. The first group is armor you have all the time, while the second group is armor that is available nearby that you take up as needed. So I want to talk to you about what you have today. You have the belt of truth. Why is truth the first part of the armor mentioned? Because we need to wear the belt of truth, because the devil is allergic to truth. He can't stay in its presence because he is a liar. Truth is an absolute standard by which reality is measured. Truth is the absolute standard of God's word by which everything is measured. We're not in a guessing game when it comes to what is true and what is not. Jesus said to his Father, "Your word is truth." And so, you can live by fact or you can live by truth. The Bible says, heavens and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain. It's the truth of the word of God. In seasons like we're living in now, we have a choice whether to live in the flesh, whether to live in the natural, whether to live with humanistic thinking, or to live on the truth of God's word. God's word is powerful. It has lasted the centuries. It's lasted wars, it's lasted famines, it's lasted everything that the earth has ever known to have, and God's word is still standing strong. So, truth holds everything together. Just like when you wear a belt, it holds up your pants. And if you're a warrior, you'd wear a belt to put your weapons on. You see, our life needed to have truth around it. You've got to live your life on truth. There is absolutes in the Word of God. There is black and white. There is the truth of God's Word. We got to live according to the truth. If you believe that, shout yes. Good on your planet, boom. So it says to gird up or tighten up the truth in your life. When you become a Christian, your life changed. It changed because you received the truth. You were set free because of the truth. Jesus made you free by giving you the truth. He said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The more truth you receive, the more victory will manifest in your life. Once you know the truth, the devil cannot fool you anymore. You see, he can only thrive in darkness. And as long as you and I are ignorant or living in the dark about something, you'll be fearful and will be vulnerable to the devil's deceit. The truth does not just set you free. It's when you know the truth that you are set free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Do you know the truth of God's word? I'm not talking about, do you read the Bible? I'm not talking, do you hear a sermon? Do you know what God says about you? Do you know what God says about your future? Do you know what God says about who you are in Christ? Do you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you know that you're called with a purpose? Do you know that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world? Do you know you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength? Do you know that you're sons and daughters of the living God? Do you know you don't live according to the flesh, the human way, but you live according to the Spirit, the kingdom way? You got to have truth. And the good thing is we have truth when we become Christians. The second thing that we have is the breastplate of righteousness. That in the soldier would go and fight and have a breastplate to protect his heart, because his heart is a vulnerable place of attack. You know, where the devil comes and attacks, he attacks our hearts. Because the Bible says, having believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth. The Bible says that our out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Bible then says our words are a rudder to our life. So what does that mean? If my heart has things in it that aren't good, I'm going to speak out those things and they're going to be a rudder to my future. So that's why I need the breastplate of righteousness over my heart to protect my heart from worldly thinking, from religious thinking, from thinking that would hold me back, and to step into a season where my heart is protected. you know, even listening to me now, people will interpret what I'm saying through what's in their heart. If you've been offended, you'll look for everything that I'm saying that you want to get wrong. You want to say, well, that's wrong and that's wrong. That's because you have an offense. Others might be disappointed, so you go, well, can that be really for me? Am I really that? Why? Because you haven't protected your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. Not from people, but from getting stuff in it. You got to get rid of the stuff out of your heart. I remember one time I was driving in my car and somebody really offended me, really offended me. It hurt me deeply. And I'm like, God, and all I could see is through the prism of that hurt because I didn't let righteousness rule my heart. And righteousness doesn't come by me, it comes by Jesus. I had enabled or allowed things to get into my heart. And so I was driving and I put some worship on. You can have worship on and still not hear from God because you don't deal with your heart. And so as I got worship on, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and saying, forgive. But I keep turning the worship up, so I'm trying to drown him out because I think if I can look more spiritual, then I can not deal with this. I had offense. And so I'm there and I said, all right, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me. Take away this offense from my heart, even though they hurt me and even though I can justify why I'm hurt, let your love and your righteousness. What is righteousness? Been made right with God. I am the righteousness of Christ. Let the Christ-likeness of you in me. And I said, I surrender it to you. And at that moment, God gave me a picture of that person and showed me that actually how they were feeling. So from a moment of feeling sorry for myself, I'm now feeling compassion for them. Why? Because I got stuff out of my heart. We talk about it all the time. Get rid of the stuff out of your heart. The Bible, you know, when David fell and he messed up, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. The renew is, you know, we're talking about a year of acceleration, of restoration. Renew a right spirit. There are people listening to me right now and you've let things in your heart. And then he says this, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. If you're listening to me right now and you've lost your joy of salvation, there is something in your heart that you need to let go. There is something that you've allowed the devil to get a foothold, even though there's righteousness that covers your heart. You've let something in there and it's time to get rid of it and say, you can't stay here anymore. Oh, you can justify and say whatever, just like I could that day. But it's time to let it go because it will only hurt you. I've been in church 52 years, seen people with great calls of God on their life, great talents, but they let stuff in their heart. And today they're walking around in the wilderness trying to justify where they're at. Get your heart right. See, guard it with righteousness. Righteousness is a gift from God. Romans 5:17 says that it's what Jesus has given us. We are made right with God. It's not our good works. It's not our perfect living. It's not us just striving to do what is right. We're made right. So get the righteousness. Cover your heart with a breastplate of righteousness. You see, as long as we're wearing a breastplate that's simply our righteousness, Satan can find many weak points in that type of righteousness and can often penetrate it with his attacks and damage our hearts. But if we put on Christ's righteousness, we have won because Christ has won. And we fight, as I said before, not for victory, but we fight from victory. For the Bible says, for who he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God. You might say, well, I've been wronged. I haven't been righted. No, you've been righted if you have the righteousness of God. You just got to get rid of the wrongs that you're carrying. He who has no sin became sin for us and gave us His righteousness. Oh, then the next thing that we have, we don't have to put this on, we have it, is the shoes of peace. And peace that comes from the good news. You know, in Roman times, the soldiers would wear strong, heavy sandals with thongs to keep them in place. And they used to lace them at least halfway up the calf with leather. And they were a very important part of the legionaries, the soldiers' equipment, because they enabled him to march long distance at speed, and this gave him mobility. And God has given you the ability to carry His gospel with speed. He's given you and I the ability to be mobile. He's given us the ability to bring peace. You know, everywhere we go, we're called to bring peace. You know, in John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, let it neither be afraid." Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, gave us His peace, and our job is to bring peace to other people. In Matthew 10, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He gave them instructions, and He sent them out for the first time to preach the gospel, the good news. And as you enter a home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If not, let your peace return to you. Notice that a significant phrase is, if a home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. You are to impart your peace to it. And when you go into home, do you have peace to impart? You cannot impart something that you're simply not enjoying yourself. God wants you to live by peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. When my mother died, I had this peace that I couldn't explain. Oh, I was sad. But in a moment, God gave me supernatural peace. Oh, it doesn't mean I didn't have any pain or grief, but I had this peace that goes beyond understanding. And we carry peace with us. Are you a peace bringer? Are you somebody who brings peace? I'm not talking about, you know, there's some people that try to have peace, but they don't really bring peace. Do you bring peace? You know, they did a study on what, in Duke University, on peace of mind and the factors that would contribute to have peace. And these factors, you can see all through Scripture. But as I did this study, and I'm not going to get to all the things in the armor of God. I'm going to do that in the next 2 weeks later. But they said this is how people, what they had, peace of mind, factors that contribute greatly to emotional and mental peace or stability. The first one is an absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. So if you're suspicious and you're always looking with the wrong view of people and you're carrying unforgiveness or you're carrying a grudge, you will live in unhappiness. Let it go, because you'll live in peace. They said people who were living in peace didn't live in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures leads to discouragement and some to depression. So we can't live in the past. It's a new day. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. There is a new breakthrough for you today. Let go of yesterday. Let go of the past and go, oh, I remember when I loved like this. And I remember, no. God has a new mercy for you today. Don't live in the past. Don't live in yesterday's disappointment or even yesterday's success. Live in the future. People have peace, don't waste their time on energy fighting things in the natural, but they stand in who they are. Another way people have peace, force yourself to stay involved in the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. God never created you for isolation. That's why we are being a church that's starting urban lives again and coming back together again with wisdom, but we are coming back together again because in Genesis, God created Adam and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. In fact, I'm going to speak on fellowship called Koinonia coming up very soon and what God designed in the church for fellowship because there's something powerful in fellowship and so we got to keep moving forward. We can't live isolated. Fear isolates. You know, Elijah, after his great victory, ran to the cave. He was isolated and the angel came and said, what are you doing here? And my question to some of us is, why are you still sitting down? Why are you not exercising your spiritual muscles? What are you doing here? And Elijah was so overcome with the situation of Jezebel, intimidation, manipulation, and control. And that's a spirit that is at work on the earth all the time. It's to control, to intimidate, and to manipulate. That's why we got to take it in the spirit and bind it and loose kingdom. He said, what are you doing here? Oh, you know, Jezebel. He's just had this big victory. But there was a moment he got out of the cave. And as he got out of the cave, he began to exercise his spiritual muscles. Atrophy, spiritual atrophy went. And now he was walking towards his destination and destiny. And along the way, he meets Elijah. And Elijah is there and a double portion is now, an anointing is passed on to Elisha. And Elisha then carries a double portion after Elijah. Why? Because Elijah did not stay isolated. He got moving towards his destiny. People who have peace refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you tough situations. You need to understand, the Bible puts it very clearly, count it all joy when you go through trials and testings and temptations because they're taking you to perfection. So accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some challenges and situations, but choose to be thankful in every season. If you've lost your thankfulness, my suggestion to you, you're not letting the righteousness of God cover your heart and you're not living in peace. They say in their studies, what helps people live in peace, the characteristics, is they cultivate virtues of love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. That's what the church is supposed to be, a place of love, a place of fun, a place of compassion, and a place that's loyal to their king. And what keeps someone in peace? In Ephesians, it talks about don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but operate in the gifts God has given you. I said, God, as a pastor, I want people to think big. He says, yes, but they're not to think big outside their gift. They can think big through their gift, but if they're looking to have a gift that I haven't given them, they're thinking of themselves more highly than they ought because they're using a gift or trying to have a gift or coveting a gift that I never gave them. They're going to live in their gift and develop their gift to be a blessing to the body, not trying to get someone else's gift because that will just lead you to a life of no peace. So they said this, to how to live in peace is find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered people, see, that's what isolation does. It makes you self-focused. But when you believe in a God that is powerful and awesome and brilliant and glorious, and you say, your kingdom, that's what I'm selling out for, then what happens? Planet Boom, Planet Uni, Planet Shakers Church, you step into a season where you're not focused on you, but you're focused on God. And the Bible says, magnify the Lord at all times. Make Him the reason you study. Make Him the reason you get a job. Make Him the reason you have a family. Make Him the Lord of all. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Don't seek all the other things. Seek Him and you'll discover He'll add everything to you. Peace. So God's saying to us, you've already got this. You've already got truth. You've already got righteousness and you got peace. You just got to operate in it. And you got to make sure that the things that get involved in your life, you just got to get rid of them that aren't of me. So right now, wherever you are, I want you to get to your feet and I want you to lift your hands to heaven. It's a sign of surrender. And I want you to say, God, if there's anything in me, I give it to you. If it's not of you, I give it to you. Father, I give you anything right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me live in truth. Help me tighten the belt of truth in my life. It might have got a bit loose, but it's still there. Help me tighten the belt of truth in my life. God, I thank you for the breastplate of righteousness, and I thank you for peace. I thank you, God, that we aren't fighting against flesh and blood, but we're seeing the victory in the heavenly realms, and we declare victory on the left and on the right. Come on, would you give him a shout of praise? Would you give him a shout of praise right here, right now? God is your peace, is your victory. You are, let me tell you, church, who you are. You are called for a great purpose, called out ones. That's what the church is. You are called to make the world a better place. You're called to bring healing. You're called to bring freedom. You're called to bring heaven to earth. You're called to live in faith. You're called to defeat fear. You're called to see bondages broken. You're called. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You are more than a conqueror. You aren't just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You're a warrior. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. You're royalty. You're a king. You're a priest. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are awesome. And God is in you. And if Christ is in you, you have hope today. And God is going to bring your life to bring a breakthrough for his kingdom. You are the church. You are what God builds and uses for the kingdom of God. You are called for greatness.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.